hallelujah. Well, I pray that Jesus is who you're looking for today. I pray that you are able to experience the very power that his word brings forth, that you know him in the pardon of your sin, that you know him beyond just the arguments and the discussions. And there's certainly at least two sides to every story, isn't that right? And there are multiple perspectives whenever anyone says anything. And certainly Jesus was no different. And even as he shared on the Sermon of the Mount, so many principles that we need to hold on to as we go through our lives, we are able to know the truth of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that is working within us. And certainly as we have been through 2020, it has been quite the challenging year. However, what an awesome year for God to show his faithfulness, for God's word to be proven to be true, and for God to be established in the midst of his people. And you and I have been able to see the faithfulness of God with all of the various types of challenges that we have faced and that have been presented to us. You and I have come through, and we are able to hold on to the truths of God, and God has proven himself faithful. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Isn't that awesome that God really is who he says he is? And so it really is more than just an argument or a debate. And so often, you know, people have this idea that somehow God's word is not true, and that somehow all that every Christian, the millions of us in the world, are doing all of this because it's just a thing to do, or it's just a made-up thing. But the fact of the matter is, this is real. In fact, this is more real than when you walk out that door and live that life. And I like to look at it as really, it's almost like a Star Trek episode when you look at life and how things are. You're traveling through all of the different life experiences that we have, and you engage various cultures and various ideas and ideologies and all different types of people and even creatures along the way. And each of them are bringing their own ideas and their own ways and their own thoughts into our lives. And it's up to us to hold on to who we are, holding on to the principles that we stand for and the realities that we know are true. And the world is a very challenging and difficult place. However, God's word is true. And the fact still remains that there is a kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of God. And there is a kingdom that has not been made with hands, but has been spoken into existence by the very word of God. God has the power to speak and cause things to come into existence. And that is why it's so important to hold on to the truth of God's word, because when you begin to apply God's word in your life, things that otherwise would not have happened will now happen. Everything begins to shift. If you take God out of the equation, your life experience is completely different than someone who could have the exact same encounters as you, but because they have a different application taking root in their life, their experience is also now different. And depending on what you are looking for, that will determine what you get and what you will receive in life. And so I would like to use as our lead verse here today, Hebrews 11, verse 10. And it says of Abraham, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And so Abraham had a plan and a purpose. He was someone who was living his life as a pagan individual. He was a worshiper of false gods and idols. His whole family was deeply invested in the business of making idols. That's how they made a living, so on. And they survived based on that very principle of serving false gods, and actually profited from the fact that everyone around them was serving a false god in some way or another, and were actually in need of these idols in order to fulfill their worship experience. And so here is Abraham, who God spoke to despite his family background and his life realities and existence at the time, chooses to hear the voice of God and apply those words in his life. He heard the word of God and applied it in his life. This choice is a choice every human being must make. You and I must all make this same choice. We make the determination whether or not, when we hear the word of God, whether or not we are going to believe it and apply it in our lives or not. And depending on what you do with the word of God, that will determine what your life experience will be from that point on. And at every juncture in our life, we will be able to choose whether to apply a biblical principle or to apply a secular principle, or, if you will, an ungodly principle, one that goes against what God's word says. And depending on which principle you apply, try it for yourself to check my theory, you will get whatever it is that you decide to look for. Whatever thing you apply or you receive to yourself, that will be the result that you will get in your life. And this is why it's so important to abide in the word of God, so that when the opportunity for choices come, you will be able to reap the benefits of having communed in the word of God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, yearning to look. Yearning to look. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word. And Lord, I ask, oh God, that even as I am speaking, Lord, that the voice that people would hear would not be my own, but the voice of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I would decrease, that you might increase, and that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would bring revelation into the hearts and minds of those who are hearing. I ask, Lord, that my voice would dissipate and the voice of God would be exalted, would be heard, would be manifested and revealed, and that those who hear would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, O God, for all these things. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. One of the most interesting things that I have learned as I've been walking with the Lord is that whenever I hear someone sharing the Word of God or talking about the Scripture, the Holy Spirit begins to show me things through what they are saying. And I'm able to hear not only what they're saying, but it causes other things to come into my mind, that the Spirit of God begins to say things to me that enable me to apply what I'm hearing in my life. And sometimes I just grab one thing, just that one thing out of the whole thing that was said. I get this one thing that I hold on to, that God gives me, that I need for myself, that I need to use going forward. And in some way or another, in the future, either later that day or even the next day, what I heard became relevant to my situation, and it was useful to help me to make a divine decision, a right decision, a decision that would enable me to have a different experience than if I had not had heard those words. And so this is what God does in our life. God positions us and places us in key places so that we are able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that we can be effective at making wise decisions, so that our life experience can be changed, can be different. And so God is trying to build up his people so that we can be a reflection of the kingdom that we are a part of. And so, as we've been talking about God being our sole proprietor and he being the builder of the house, it is so important for us to understand that we are the building. We are the building. You and I are the building. Your life is the building. And your soul and your spirit are all a part of this building that God is trying to build up. The world is evil. It is desperately wicked. The spirit of the world is that of darkness and sinfulness, and one that is separated from God. It is the result of sin. That is a very simple, basic understanding. And the answer to the question is, why is there so much evil in the world? Why are people doing so many terrible things? Or why do so many bad things happen? The answer is in Genesis, and it is the fact that sin came into the world, and the word of Satan was believed over the word of God. That is what created the environment that we now live in 2020. And because of that very decision, it changed the trajectory of the world. And so what God has now done is he's brought Jesus into the world, and we are celebrating him during this season, and we are reflecting and acknowledging him. And because of that, Jesus coming into the world, he changes the trajectory back to where God wanted it to be. And that is what Christ does. So those who now come to Christ and apply, remember, it's a principle of whose word are you going to apply in your life? Either the word of Jesus or the words of the world. It's one or the other. And the world represents Satan and in its falling condition. And so when you believe the words of the world, the philosophies of the world, the ideas of those who are of the world, and all of their ideologies and ways and thoughts and so on and so forth, when you apply those and give them precedent over the word of God, you will have a fallen world experience. Your life will be established in a fallen world mentality. And when you apply biblical truth and biblical principles in your life, then you will have a kingdom of God experience. You will have the type of experience in your life that Jesus represented and actually replicated in his life. And this is what God is calling us to do. And so I would like to look at this in a way that hopefully you can understand what is happening all around us every day, and that you will be able to take this principle and apply it in your life so that you can have a divine experience, an encounter with God over and over and over again in your life. that will continually build your faith and trust in God and enable you to know him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so as we begin, we're going to look here in Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10, just to lay this foundation that Abraham, by faith, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So right off the bat, we understand Abraham was a man who, as I explained earlier, was an idol worshiper, someone who had no knowledge of God. He had no relationship with God. He didn't grow up in a family that taught people about God. He was a grown man when he heard from God. And so it doesn't matter how old you are when God reveals himself to you, but what does matter is what your response will be. What is your response when God speaks? And so you can argue against or pick apart and find some negative way of taking what God has said, or you can simply hear what God is saying, allow it to speak to your heart, and then apply its principles and receive its power. This is the choice that you and I have to make every day. And so Abraham went out. He heard from God, and he left his father, his mother, his whole family, because they were serving idols. They were not serving God. And because he heard from God and obeyed God, it took him out of that place and brought him to a foreign land, an inheritance. I would submit to you that you and I have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. And you can live for this world or you can live for your inheritance. The choice is up to you. And so Abraham chose to live for his inheritance, which means he began to take the principles of God and his word and apply it in his life, even though he did not know where he was going. He was going on a journey, and God was bringing him through. That journey would be very difficult and challenging. There were many ways that the opposition that he faced worked against him, ways that he otherwise would not have experienced had he stayed home. But because he dared to trust God, he had experiences that over and over again challenged him as a man and as a family, and also proved the faithfulness of God. Life is this very way. Life is this way for you and I. When you choose to obey God in his word, even though it's foreign to you, even though you don't truly, really understand where you're going, you have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring or where you're headed. All you know is you have an inheritance and a promise from God that you know that he is real and that he is able to be trusted. And so your faith and your trust is placed in him. And so you turn away from old things and the things maybe that you grew up with or you grew up in order to pursue a new inheritance. You and I have a new inheritance. That inheritance is in Jesus. That requires us to leave those things which are behind and press on to the high calling of God, as Paul said. And so Abraham has taken on this quest. And it says in verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. And so now Abraham has changed the trajectory of his family lineage from that was rooted in idol worship and false gods and sin and death to a life of prosperity and a life of redemption and life eternal. And as a result, Abraham has reaped the history of the world in that he now is known as the father of faith. Hallelujah. And I would submit to you, anyone who changes the trajectory of their family and their household becomes a father of faith and will be a pillar to their lineage of that point of transformation that God established in their house, such that as they move forward in life, their family life experiences will then be different because God is now in the midst, proving himself faithful over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so verse 9 says, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, which Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. The tents represent, as we talked about last week, the tents represent, or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, the tents represent you and I. They represent the people of God. And it is the multiplicity of tents that make up a kingdom. Hallelujah. And you and I are being molded and shaped by God. We are being built up as a building whose foundations and whose architect and builder is God. Verse 10, that's what he was looking for. Abraham was looking for the city. You and I ought to be looking for a city. We ought to be looking for the inheritance of God. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. And I would submit to you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand in your life. And as you operate in the word of God, in the truths of God, as you allow God to mold you and shape you, you will begin to be transformed. You will be built up from a tent to a tabernacle and to a temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is what God is working about in our lives. And we see that exemplified in the life of this man named Simeon. And we see in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it says, after Jesus was born and after all that took place at the manger and at the beginning when he was born, a week later, it says 8 days had passed in verse 21 before his circumcision. And his name was then called Jesus. And the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so an angel came to Mary and told her what the child's name would be. But Jesus wasn't actually called Jesus until a week after he was born in the manger. And so before that, he was really just the Son of God. Hallelujah. He was just the Son of God because God was his Father and still is. And because Jesus was able to have his name changed and established or given at that time, it established his identity. And you and I understand that name ascribes to identity. You know, there was the question that was asked of Jesus, should we pay taxes? And Jesus said, whose image is on the coin, or whose name is on the coin? And they said it was the name of Caesar. It was Caesar who was on the coin. And he said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And the question is, whose name is on you? Whose name is on you, and whose name is upon your life? What does your name signify? Does it signify the kingdom of Caesar, or does it signify the kingdom of God? I would submit the name of Jesus represents the kingdom of God. And it was God come in the flesh. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word lived out. That is who he is. That is what his name signifies. And you and I have become children of the Word made flesh. We are joint heirs of the one who has established the Word, has spoken the Word, and brought the Word to life. And that name, that identity, is now imparted to us. And so we render the things unto God, the things that belong to God. And that is who we are. And that is what our lives are all about. And that is what took place in Abraham's life. That is what happened to him. And it says in verse 22, and when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished or completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Well, I would submit to you that once you give your heart and your life to Christ, the place where you belong is the house of the Lord. It is the place where all those whom God redeems, all those whom God restores and renews, who he breathes his spirit into, who he gives life to, it is the very place that we are all established and rooted in, the church, the house of the Lord. This was no different for Jesus. He was established in that place. In fact, if you remember, when he was around 12 years old, his parents took him on a little journey. They went on a trip. And along the way, they lost him. They couldn't find him. And they were looking all over for him. And as they looked for Jesus, as they sought for Jesus, they were in panic mode, I'm sure. Have you ever lost anything? How about your keys? I know people lose their keys all the time. And you lose your keys, especially if you're not home, what happens? You begin to panic, isn't that right? You start to worry. You're like, oh my goodness, where did I put those keys? And depending on where you are, it could be a real nightmare because you've been into so many things. There's so many places it could be. But I tell you that you will look and seek for those keys. You will unpack everything you have. You will search every pocket. You will pull your pockets inside out. You can feel there's nothing there. You know it's not a key, but you'll still take your pockets inside out. You'll still search everything. Women will dump their purses. All kinds of things come out of the purse. They will search every little zipper, every little nook and cranny. Even if it's empty still, they go inside and do this motion to make sure that there's nothing inside stuck anywhere. And there are all types of things that people do when they lose something of value and they're on the hunt and 1,000 thoughts are going through their mind. How am I going to get home? How am I going to get? I don't know where this key could possibly be. I don't even know what I did with it. I just had it. At least I think I just had it. At least I did get here. I had it when I got here. But where is it? And all of these thoughts are going through our mind and we're doing everything we can. We finally even backtrack our steps to see, where did I go? I was over here. No, I was over here. Then I went over here. And now over there. But I don't see it. It's nowhere. I don't know what happened. This is how we search for things. This is how we ought to look for God. This is how we ought to look for God. We ought not want to hear any noise. Well, maybe you left it, you know, in China. What are you talking about? That's crazy. I wasn't in China. I just had it right here. And people will give you all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of ideas. Well, maybe the dango ate your baby. That's the kind of thing that God wants us to pursue when it comes to the things of God. That is the way we ought to look, and we ought to put the blinders on to people who are talking crazy or nonsense or people who are saying things that are going to throw you off track from what it is that you are in pursuit of, the kingdom of God. This is the mindset that these people had, as we see in Scripture. This is the mindset that Abraham had. Abraham sought the Lord with his whole heart, with his whole mind, his whole soul, everything he was. He pursued God, and God was faithful to him. God was faithful. Simeon was the same type of man. Here in verse 25 of Luke 2, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. These are the characteristics that you and I need to have in our lives. We need to be righteous. In other words, making the right decisions, doing things in God's timeliness. allowing ourselves to be in the right place at the right time. So many people I know, they're always one degree off, or their timing is terrible. You know, they decide to do this when they should have done that, and they should have been over here, but they ended up over there, and they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and blessings come and opportunities come, and it goes right by them. And by the time they get to where they're supposed to be, the opportunity is lost. This is the way you live when you're out of sync with the Word of God, with the truths of God, with the blessings of God. And this is why applying biblical principles in your life is so important. We are living in very challenging and difficult times, and being at the right place at the right time, being of a right mindset, is so critically important if you're going to have a kingdom life experience. It is the difference between having the glory and the power of God working and stirring in your life and missing out by one degree an opportunity or the chance for life of peace and patience and gentleness and kindness. And this man, Simeon, was understanding of these divine principles, and he was focused on the principles of God. And it says that he was righteous and devout. That means no one could stir him from his course of action. His focus and his direction was established in God. You and I need to have this same principle. We need to be rooted and grounded. We need to be established. Our foundation is Christ. We hang on to Christ. We hold on to the Word of God. We trust in the Word of God. We seek the kingdom of God. Our focus is the kingdom. We don't know where we're going or how we're going to get there, but we know we're seeking the kingdom. You and I are on our way to a land of promise, the kingdom of God. It requires us to think differently than the world. It requires us to live differently than the world. I don't expect heathens to live godly. I don't expect ungodly people to understand godly ways or godly principles. I don't expect those who are outside of God in His Spirit to operate as if they were in God and in His Spirit. And in the same manner, we have to understand that as we go through life, we are going through life interacting with people who are those who are the result of the fall in the garden. They are not able to even conceive the things of God. And so that means we must live our lives independent of what is happening in the world and be totally dependent upon God and the Spirit of the Lord as it works in the midst of us, as we hold true to the principles of God and His Word. And so that means the news does not determine what I believe and how I think. That means other people who are debating and arguing the things or the principles and the truths of God are able to sway me from what I have experienced in my walk with God as I have been faithful to His Word and seen God's divine principles unfold in my life. And no one ought to be able to rob you of that. You need to be devout. Then he was looking for the consolation of Israel, the peace of Israel. He was looking for God to bring deliverance and healing in Israel. And he was able to look for that. And I submit to you, whatever you're looking for, that is what you will receive. And when you seek the kingdom of God, you will receive kingdom of God benefits. You will experience the kingdom of God. If your mind is filled with confusion and chaos and all these other kinds of thoughts that are designed to take you to a place that you probably don't want to be, then you must apply the principles of God so that you can reap the peace of God. These are principles that when you apply them in your life, they automatically come to you. You don't have to try to make it happen. You don't have to try to be peaceful. You don't have to try to have joy. You don't have to try to be loving. You don't have, it's all imparted to you. It's all put to you. It is established in you as you apply biblical principles. As you are a doer of the Word, then you will also be able to experience the Word. Without doing the Word, you will not experience the Word. And it's so important to apply God's Word. And that's what Simeon was doing. And that is what enabled the Holy Spirit to be upon him. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The question is the Holy Spirit upon you? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but every day I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Give me wisdom and direction. I get up every day and I say, Lord, go before me. Establish your way that I may go in the way that you would have me to go. Cover me. Give me traveling mercies as I travel. Open doors for me. Make a way even when it seems like it's impossible. And so I'm looking. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for God to manifest himself in my life. And you know what? Every day he does. Every day he is faithful. And so Simeon, he was living this kind of experience. He was experiencing this. And it says in verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he got an answer to the prayers that he was praying, to before he was able to see the very things he was looking for. And saints of God, I believe when you are walking in the righteousness of God, when you are in pursuit of God, when you are seeking the kingdom of God, God will respond to you and he will enable you. He will speak to you. He will show you things. He will give you direction and he will prove himself faithful before you die. Hallelujah. Before you die, you will see the glory of the Lord, the faithfulness of God. He will over and over again prove his reality in your life. But you must be a doer of his word. You must apply the principles. That's like telling somebody who put $1 million in your bank that you will only use that money or believe that it's there if he gives you the cash right now in your hand. Meanwhile, he says, it's already in your bank account. But yet, you refuse to go to the bank. You refuse to use your ATM card. You refuse to use the access that you have to the account that's already there. You're saying no, because I don't believe it. I want to see the cash in my hand. Well, God says, if you trust me and you apply my word in your life, the kingdom account will never run dry. God will always keep replenishing you. God says, trust me, apply my word in your life. Allow the principles of my word to change your life. I tell you, it's not until you do what the word of God says that you have the experiences that God's word says you will have. The very things you desire will not come to pass until you become one who applies the principles of God. And to the degree that you apply those principles, that is the degree to which you will have a kingdom experience in those areas of your life. This is why some Christians are blessed in this area, but they are destitute in another. They are able and competent in one area, but in other areas, they're just a big mess and their lives are falling apart. Because the degree to which you apply biblical principles in the various areas of your life are the degree to which you will experience kingdom living and experiences. This is what God is trying to build us into. He's building a kingdom of people, various people in tents or in temples and tabernacles that establish or make up the kingdom of God. You and I are part of this kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord. It says in verse 27, he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law. Now, my first question after reading this verse is, how did you come to church today? Did you come into the church in the spirit? Did you come in the Spirit of God? Did you come filled with his presence? Did you come having received of the Spirit of the Lord after a time of prayer and maybe devotion this morning, or as you drove in the car on the way here? Was God's presence being stirred up and cultivated in your life? Were you able to hold on to the very power and the presence of God so that when you came into the house of God, you met Spirit with Spirit? Hallelujah. You met God's presence with God's presence. Hallelujah. It's when those two things come together, power ignites in a person's life. That is when God is able to speak to you. He's able to enable you to hear and to understand the things of God. Oh, what state you come in makes a big difference. It says, and when the parents brought the child Jesus in to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you imagine, as here is Jesus, the living word, the one filled with the power of God, one who caused all of the universe to come into existence. Here he is in the form of a child, all of that powerful being there in the midst. How else can you come into the presence of God? Oh, you must come in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, sin, if he had come in a sinful state, it would have been like kryptonite, and it would have just rendered everything just powerless. But because he came in the power of the Spirit of God, he was able to take up the Lord Jesus into his arms, and he held him, and the power of blessing came out. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, I submit to you, when Christ is in you and you are operating in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will ignite and cause blessing to flow in the midst of your life. You will experience the power of God, the move of God. Could you imagine little baby Jesus? Everyone loves holding little babies, isn't that right? They have a little baby smell. They have that baby feel, and there's just something about them. And when you hold them, oh, it's such a good feeling, as that life is radiating in the midst of them, and you're holding it to yourself. Can you imagine what baby Jesus must have felt like? Ooh, oh, could you imagine just taking up baby Jesus and holding him? Oh, I could tell you, I bet Simeon was just feeling the anointing of the God, just stirring. You know what it's like when two believers get together and they start talking about the things of God and the move of God. You know what it's like when two people who are filled with the Spirit touch hands and begin to pray or begin to talk and share. There is some kind of electricity that flows. There is an anointing that begins to flow. Oh, I tell you, it's so sad there are so many Christians that don't know the power of God's presence. They don't know the igniting Spirit of God that moves in the midst of us. But I tell you, when it comes alive in your life, when you become real to the realities of the Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, oh, there's a charge. Oh, it will ignite the power of God in your life. It will bring you to a whole nother place in your walk with God. And this is what Simeon was experiencing. He was overflowed with blessing God. Oh, saints of God, do you ever want to just bless the Lord? Do you ever just feel God so much so you just go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard people praising God before? Have you ever heard people worshiping God? Doesn't it draw you in? Doesn't it cause you to also want to bless God, want to praise God? Don't you want to lift up holy hands and magnify the Lord? Oh, that's what happens when Spirit engages Spirit. When the Spirit of God, the presence of God, engages you in your life, that anointing, that move of the Spirit of God, it causes things to happen. And saints of God, it is a confirmation of the reality of God, and it is the very thing that represents the down payment of the kingdom that is to come. You and I, we have an inheritance today. We have a reason to bless God. This is what will happen. You will always be able to bless God when the Spirit of God is stirring in your life. It doesn't matter what evil is taking place in the world around you. It doesn't matter what's happening and all the chaos and all the confusion, all the sickness and all the disease. It doesn't really matter in the life of the believer, because we know the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. He sustains his people. He keeps his people, and he ignites his spirit within us. And that is what is our covering. It is the blessing of God. It is what enables us to maintain divine kingdom attributes. We lived in 2020 as if we were living in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We lived as if we lived in the kingdom of God. You know, it didn't bother me to be sit at home and to be shut in, because I was with my family, with people all around me. And guess what? It reminded me of what the kingdom of God is going to be like. Hallelujah. It's going to be a place where the people are worshiping God, where the people are glorifying God. We are going to be gathering together around the banqueting table, and we will eat and enjoy the presence of the Lord and our presence with one another. And we are able to bring glory and honor to God. We are able to bless his name. We're able to testify of his goodness and all that he has brought us through. And as a result, we gather together in the name of the Lord, and we are stronger, and we are able, and we are capable, because God has proven himself worthy of our praise. And this is what 2020 has represented in the life of the believer. It is the very experience that God has established in the midst of us. And that's why Simeon was able to say in verse 29 here, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word." The saints of God, you will have peace when you're living according to the word of the Lord. You will be able to overcome when you are living your life according to the word of God, because God will always prove his word. God establishes his word, and then he stands behind it to perform it, the word of God says. And that is why you and I are able to have peace today. That is why we can look forward to 21, because it represents a kingdom that we are in pursuit of. It is a greater opportunity and a greater way of life. And so he goes on in verse 30, and Luke tells us, he says that Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Oh, saints of God, have you seen the salvation of the Lord? Has God brought you through anything of significance in 2020? Can you remember anything that God has done for you? Are you able to recognize that God has done something for you in your life? Oh, I pray that you are filled with the Spirit of God. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will see things that other people will not see. In fact, other people won't even have the capacity to see it, because God is the one who causes things to open up so that you can see. This is why Jesus told the disciples, he prayed over them, and he said, "Lord, open their eyes that they may see, that they may be doers of the word, that they may understand and have understanding in the word of God." The word of God will change your life. It will cause your eyes to be open. Don't allow Satan to rob you of your time in God's word, of your time in the presence of God, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Pray, "God, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may be able to see the salvation of God, the hand of God in my everyday life." He goes on, he says, "which you have prepared in the presence of all people." Hallelujah. In other words, while everybody was doing everything they were doing, right in the midst of everybody, God was at work. Hallelujah. That's what 2020 was like. 2020 was alike while everybody was being distracted by the satanic confusions and all of the chaos and the wackiness going on. And Satan was going, "Look over here. Look at me. Oh, look what's going on. Oh, fear, anxiety. Oh, bad things are happening to people. And all evil is going on." Meanwhile, God was at work. God was at work. And he was bringing forth his kingdom. And the people of God were able to stand firm and true, able to have peace in the midst of the storm, able to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God was saying, so that no matter what was happening in the world, they had in their minds, "I am not of this world, I am of the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. And when you're of the kingdom of God, God shields his people. God covers his people. God watches over his people. And really, it's only because the word dwells within you. When you apply the word becomes a part of who you are. You become the word made flesh. And the power and the presence of God comes over you because God watches over his word. And that is why Satan doesn't want you in the word. Because when you're strong in the word, you are strong in God's presence. You are strong in God's ability to use you, to cover you, to enable you, to bring about the manifestations of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That is why you can have the attributes of God even in the midst of chaos and confusion. Because God gives his people peace and rest in the times of storms. That's why Jesus was asleep in the bow of the boat while everyone else was panicking and throwing things overboard. This is what God will do in the life of his people. And so it says that he is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This is what God does in our lives. This is why we celebrate the Christmas season with lights and all of the glorious things that represent the very fact that Jesus is the light of the world. You and I are lights of this world. You and I are to be that beacon of hope. We are the ones who shine in the midst of darkness and say, come, come unto me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. We are beckoning the people as a light to come to Christ who shines in us. It is the Lord who we represent. We are his ambassadors. We are the ones who say, you see, you can have peace in the time of a storm. You can even have the glory of God. You can have joy, and the love of God can overflow in your life. This is where hope comes from. This is where hope is established and it is rooted. It is a beautiful thing that when you have hope, you are then able to move on to that place where you have peace. Hallelujah. And then when you have peace, you can actually have joy. And then from joy, you are able to have love. Hallelujah. And Michal brought that out beautifully during the Christmas service. And this is exactly what God is trying to do in the life of every single human on the planet. He is trying to help us to get to that place where we can experience the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so it says his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. I tell you, there's nothing more joyous to a parent than to hear amazing and good things said about their children. Oh, hallelujah. And that is what Mary and Joseph were pondering, all of these good things in their heart over and over again. And this is what God is trying to do in our lives. It says, and Simeon overflowed with the blessing because he was filled with the Spirit of God. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will not only be a blessing, but you will bless others. You will cause the blessing to be in lives imparted to the lives of the people around you. And so Simeon, he was one who blessed them. And he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. This is what Jesus does. You can either argue and make excuses about the things that Jesus did as one who is opposed to him, or you can receive his word with gladness and you can apply it in your heart and your life, even though you don't understand it, and let God do the work of the kingdom in the midst of your life. This is what Mary was pondering in her life. Simeon here is prophesying to Mary about her son's purpose in life and what he will accomplish in the world. And that is what happens when you're in the presence of God, in the Spirit of God. God will show you things that will help people to see their purpose in the world, to see that God is doing something great in their lives. many of the people of God, you and I, have prophesied in the lives of people many times before, because we have seen something in someone or in a situation or a circumstance. And because God enabled us to see it, we were able to speak what God showed us, and it comes to pass. That is the benefit of being a member of the kingdom of God. God will cause all things to work together for your good if you love him and are living according to his purpose. I pray that you are operating in that place. And it says in verse 35, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And so that's revelation of the Spirit of God. The sword representing the Word of God. And the Word of God, when it cuts into a person's heart, into their very soul, it forces them to a place of decision. It brings you to a place where you must decide whether you're going to believe this word or not, whether you're going to apply it in your life or not, or will you just find a way to argue it away, or somehow justify it outside of the reality of its truth. And so this is a work of Satan. That is what he does. He brings that mentality about. And it's always being presented before the people of God again and again and again. But if you are like Simeon, who is devout, one who is cautious and scrupulous when it comes to your walk with God and what you are going to believe and receive and apply in your life, if you are going to be devout, consistent, and able to walk in harmony and in parallel with the truths of God and his word, then you will have a different life experience. If you're seeking the consolation of Israel, seeking the things of God, the principles of God, then you will be able to experience godly counsel. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and God will begin to comfort you, and he will begin to reveal things to you. He will enable you to have inspiration, and he will enable you to know what to do and when you need to do it. He will give you divine guidance. The Spirit of the Lord will be with you. He will raise you up and enable you to see things and prophesy and even bless people all around you. You will testify of the goodness of the Lord. You will share what God has done in your life. You will testify of the faithfulness of the Lord and of the kingdom of God. In verse 36, we find this testimony of this woman named Anna, who was a prophetess. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And she was advanced in years. That's a fancy way of saying she was an old lady. And she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And this is significant. And whenever we see the word of God talking about a person who is married, it signifies that they were a virgin and then they were committed to God in their walk with God up until the time when they were married. And as a result, they then began to honor their husbands as they lived their lives together as one. And so here is the husband who she served with for 7 years in their relationship with God. And for 7 years they were married, and then she was widowed, it says. It says, then as a widow to the age of 84. That's a long time. And people in those days generally got married at a very young age. So here is a young adult woman, probably in her teens, late teens or so, or even mid-teens and up, as Mary herself was about 16 or so. And so we see that here is a woman in her mid-teens about who was married for 7 years. So in her early 20s, she was widowed, and then she was in the temple of God serving night and day with fastings and prayers. She never left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine people of God today that would commit themselves to the service of the Lord and not focus on, listen, if you're in your early 20s, you're looking for a new husband. Hallelujah. They're looking for a new husband. Listen, first one died, next. And that's the world we live in. And so, and people will say things, why should your life end?
you should live too. And they would look on. But this woman didn't have that carnal mentality. She said, I'm married to the Lord. I am going to seek the Lord. She put God first in her life, and she held on because there was something satisfying about serving God night and day with fasting and prayer. I would submit to you that when you're serving God with fasting and prayer night and day, it changes everything about your life. It changes the way you feel. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you see things. It changes what you see. And even God is able to enable you to be used as an ambassador of the kingdom of God that brings change and transformation in a person's life. I pray that you know the power of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer is not for other people, it's for you. Hallelujah. It's for you. The fasting and the prayer is what determines whether or not you are able to experience more of God in his presence and his identity at work in your life. This is the thing that comes when you're looking for a kingdom, when you're in pursuit of God. Verse 38 says, at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak to him or speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. This is a very powerful revelation of this woman. And she was someone who immediately, when she encountered Jesus, she began to give thanks to God. Oh, saints of God, when you come into the presence of God, you ought to come in with thanksgiving. You ought to come in worshiping and glorifying God. You ought to come in understanding that everything is working together for your good. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how things seem. It doesn't even matter what is happening or what's going on. God is still at work, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your covering. He is making a way for you. Here is a woman who was a widow till she was 84, an 84-year-old woman. She sees Jesus and responds with giving thanks to God, and she continued to speak. She couldn't shut up talking about Jesus. I pray that you could never be shut up when it comes to talking about Jesus. I pray that you are able to see and remember the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, and that you are looking to the very redemption of Jerusalem, as the word of God says. You are looking for a kingdom whose architect and builder is God. What are you looking for today, saints of God? I pray that you are looking for the very principles of God's kingdom. It says, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord. Think about that now. It says, when they did everything the word of God required them to do, they were not slack in their duties. They were faithful to the word of God. It says, when they were done, when they did all according to the law of the word of God, it says they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And that is where Jesus began his ministry. He began his work. And I would submit to you, whenever you leave the house of God, you ought to be prepared for the work of the Lord. You ought to be prepared in the fullness of the Spirit of God. You ought to be prepared and ready to face the world and do the work of the kingdom of God. And Jesus, he grew. Verse 40, he continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. I pray that can be said of your child. I pray that that can be said of you. I pray that can be said of your family and the people around you, that they are growing in the grace of God, and they are being made strong, increasing in wisdom every day, over and over again, God manifesting himself, even as Jesus grew and became strong. It says that we said found that Anna was a prophetess. She was a woman who was faithful to God. And I would submit to you, when you abide in God and you walk in the power and the presence of God, God will cause you to prophesy. He will cause you to declare the word of God, the truths of God. We are living in a day and age where everybody's totally spun and lost the reality and the understanding of what it means to be a prophet or a prophetess. Everybody wants a title, but it is actually an attribute of those who walk in the Spirit of God. God will show you things. He will cause you to be a God to the godless. He will cause you to be one who is able to see and bring revelation to people who are living their lives in darkness. It is a trait of the Spirit of God. God will reveal things to his people. And Anna understood and experienced this in her life. And so her life was focused on the service of the Lord. The more God shows you things and enables you, the more you will want to be in the service of the Lord. She was a widow from her young adult age to 84. She spent her life in the house of the Lord as a servant, serving the Lord with fasting and prayer. And so much so that when she encountered Jesus, she recognized him. Something quickened in her spirit. I tell you, so many people don't know Jesus today. They wouldn't know him if he were to show up in the room or in a place. And it's a sad thing because people don't spend enough time with God. And when you spend time with God, you will know him by the Spirit. You won't need an angel to come say, hey, this is Jesus. You won't need somebody else to tell you, hey, that's Jesus. Hey, he's coming over here. Hey, he's coming over there, as the word of God says will happen in the last days. But I tell you that when you have a relationship with God, when God shows up, you will know him. You will know him in the power of the Spirit of God. There will be a quickening and a witness of the Spirit that enables you to come alive when you come into the presence of Jesus. This is what enabled Anna as well as Simeon to continually testify and talk of the things of God. They were both seeking. They were seeking the redemption of the Lord. They were seeking the work of the Lord. And this same charge is given to you and I. This is why it is said in Matthew 6:32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, the things of this world, food and all the clothing and provision and prosperity and all the essences of life. But he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, saints of God, there's always a but when it comes to the things of this world. The world will paint a picture and they will show you various things. And you have to say in your mind, but God says, God's word says, seek first. But seek first his kingdom. He knows everything you need. You will not reap all of those benefits until you begin to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Simeon was a man who sought the kingdom of God, and he was known to be righteous. This is what you and I need to be said of us. We need to be a people who are known to be seeking God and are known to be righteous in all the things that we do. He says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that right? It's challenging enough each day to remain faithful to God, to stay true to his word. It's more challenging every day, and it's up to us to hold on to those truths of God, the promises of God, so that the power of God can be manifested among us. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is Matthew 7:7. This is what Jesus said in the next chapter following. This is why it's so important for us to have a relationship with God, to commune with God. Because you don't have, it's probably because you didn't ask. If you don't find it, it's probably because you aren't really looking for it. And it says if it doesn't open, it's probably because you really aren't knocking all that hard. But I tell you, if you seek these things out for the kingdom of God's sake, the way you would look for your lost keys when you're stranded out somewhere and you need to get home, I tell you, if you can seek God in the same manner that you would seek those things that you have lost that are valuable to you, then I tell you, you will reap the power of the blessings of God. He will open doors. He will make a way for you. He will show you that he is with you and has not left you. He will show you his reality and his truth. For everyone who asks receives, verse 8 says, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open to him. Hallelujah. God will open the door for you. God will make a way for you. The question is, how hard are you looking? Hallelujah. How hard are you knocking? Hallelujah. How hard are you in pursuit of God? Are you genuinely asking God? Is your faith and trust in him? He says, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was looking. He was in pursuit of God. He was on a journey. He forsook all the other ways of life that he ever knew in order to pursue the journey of God. Well, God is still doing that today in people's lives. God is still transforming people's lives. Jesus even said, who is my father and my mother, or my sister or my brother? It is he who does the will of my heavenly Father. And saints of God, you and I have to have a heavenly or divine perspective on this life. We must be able to operate in the power of look, the look. And when you're operating in the power of the look or the seek, then you will find, and God will bring revelation, and he will open doors, and he will make a way. He will cause those things which are impossible to somehow come to fruition. He will make the crooked way straight, and he will enable you to overcome every obstacle that you face, even as Abraham was able to overcome, even as the Israelites had victory through the wilderness and ultimately made it to the promised land. So through Jesus Christ, his birth and his life and his resurrection, you and I will have a yearning desire to seek him and to look for him as he reveals himself and he makes a way for us, as he's building us up in preparation for the kingdom which is to come, the kingdom of God. He is the builder of the house, and he is the one who is the owner of our souls. He is the one in whom we have placed our faith and our trust, Jesus Christ, the living Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Power and honor to our God. Sing him blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Sing him blessing and honor, glory and power forever to our God.
Well, thanks to God, you will find whatever you're looking for. If you're not looking for Jesus, you're going to find whatever else it is that you're looking at. And that is why our focus is on the Lord. That is why we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is why we trust him with all our heart. That is why the word of God is so important in our lives. I pray that your faith and your trust is in God and his word. I shared in the first service how God transformed my life as I grew up in the church. I went to church, I heard sermons, I heard songs sing, and I had an basic understanding of the word of God. I used to think, as long as you had Jesus in your heart, that's all that mattered. Nothing else mattered after that. You could just go ahead and do whatever you wanted to do, however you wanted to do it. Didn't matter, you're saved, you're going to heaven. But then I began to have a relationship with God. Something began to change. That seed that I had in my life began to grow. And I remember when I was going off to Word of Life Bible Camp in Schroon Lake, New York, my mother gave me a Bible. And it was a nice Bible. It was blue with a nice little image on the front, like a picture of the glory of the kingdom of God, a nice little zipper with a cross on it. And I'll never forget that Bible. And I took that Bible, I never really read it until after I went to Word of Life Bible Camp and I was introduced to the Word of God. And it was brought to life for me. And I was so interested, it piqued my interest. And then all of a sudden I decided, you know what? I want to read this Bible. And that was some task, because I was only like 12 or 13 years old. And here I was trying to read this Bible, and it was a King James Bible. Hallelujah. So you know that takes some challenges, especially for a young man. And here I am at 13 years old, trying to learn how to read the Bible. I decided I was going to read it for myself. I wasn't going to just listen to what everybody else said. I see how much wonderful joy it brings and how awesome it is when the stories are told. I need to know more for myself. So I began to study the Word of God, and it began to change my life. And I'll never forget how God began to speak to me and give me a hunger and a thirst for His Word. I got to the point where I didn't want to put it down. And I tell you, it was not easy to read that little tiny print. You know, it was one of those Bibles where the paper was rice paper, really thin, and the print was so big you almost needed a magnifying glass to read it. But I would sit up at night and I would just read it and read it and read it. And God began to change my life. And I would submit to you that God will change your life when you begin to seek God for yourself. Stop listening to what everybody else has to say. Stop listening to all this commentary about all these different things that are going on, and get back to the Word of God, the very root of the source. Get back to God's truth for yourself. Let the Spirit of God come through His Word and let Him impact your life. Let Him renew your mind and renew your life and restore you into a right relationship with Him, that you will get back to your first love, that you will find yourself in pursuit of God, looking for a kingdom, looking for God to reveal Himself and to make a way in your life, so that you will know the power and the presence of God, that you will be a living witness and a testimony of God, that you will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. That is what God will do. Your hope will increase. Your hope will indeed, as we all said, will overflow into peace. And then the peace of God will indeed grow out and into the more element attributes of God, to the point where you will be able to know the love of God in your life. He will cause your life to be transformed. He will cause your life to be changed, to be different. You're looking for change today? Well, I pray that you come to the change agent. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that changes people's lives. And it's not until you have a one-on-one encounter directly with the Word of God, not through a person, not through an angel, but with Jesus directly Himself, your life will be completely changed, and you will know the power of God, and you will be able to be a witness of the kingdom of God. He will use you to be a testimony, a living testimony, as to the faithfulness of God. I pray that you're looking for Jesus, because you're going to end up wherever you look. Wherever your focus is, that's what you're going to reap to yourself. And so I pray it is the kingdom of God today. I pray that it is the Word of God today. And I pray that it is life and life everlasting, life eternal, in the fruit of the Spirit of God, in love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and self-control, to the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for this day. And we ask, God, that your Word would come alive in our hearts, that we might be the very source of the kingdom of heaven and of God at work in the midst of us as we encounter the people of this world, and that we would be able to bring forth the very essences of the Spirit of God, that Christ would be revelant to the people that we encounter, and that the truths of God would be manifested, that their eyes may be opened, that their ears may hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and that they too may come into the working of the Spirit of God in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah to our God.